First Peter 1 is we're going to look for just a few minutes here before we go to observing the Lord's table. We started last month a new series that we're doing each time we gather to observe the Lord's table. And the series is entitled The Words of Salvation. Our salvation is kind of like a diamond. And you know, a diamond has a lot of different cuts on that stone. And those smooth, clear cuts on that stone give it the brilliant shine that it has and the sparkle that it has as the light reflects on all of those different surfaces on that stone that's been so precisely cut. Our salvation is kind of like that. It's one big event, if we could call it that, our salvation. But there are so many different facets to our salvation. And each one of those facets is a whole new word that relates to what it means, one aspect, one side, if we could say it that way, one side of many sides that relate to our salvation. We began the series a month ago looking at the one side called atonement. That was a word that we considered, and we looked at the fact that the blood of Christ and the atonement has covered our sins. And another word that I want us to consider tonight is the word redemption. The word redemption. What does it mean when we talk about having a redeemer? What does it mean when we talk about our redemption? The Puritan Thomas Watson said redemption was God's greatest work. That in his creation, that was accomplished by his speaking a word and the worlds were formed. But redemption, it took the shedding of blood for our redemption to take place. The act of redeeming in the Bible is a very precise, it's a very technical transaction. It involves parties, it involves prices, it involves payments. And that's what we want to look at tonight. What is it when we speak of our redemption? That as believers, what we are remembering tonight is that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. We have been redeemed. And that's what we want to look at this evening. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Lord, our salvation is so vast. There's so many aspects to it that you've laid out in your word when we think about all of those different things that relate to our salvation and how excited we are and how grateful we are when we think about the salvation that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And Lord, tonight we want to focus on the aspect that you mention in your word that relates to our redemption. We pray that your Spirit would guide us as we look at it. May we be able to grasp tonight what it means to be redeemed. And so help us, Lord, as we look at it. May your Spirit be our teacher, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin talking about the concept of redemption. By definition, the idea of the word is a buying back. That's the idea when we think about definition. And if you're just going to simply say a redemption, a being redeemed is having been bought back. That's the idea of the word. A person, perhaps it was originally the possession of the purchaser, but this person who is presently under the control of someone else, perhaps he's become a slave or something of that nature. And as such, he's in a position which requires the payment of a price if the ownership is going to be transferred. So this person who is, we'll say, is a slave. And if that person is going to be freed from that position of where he is right now as a slave, then there is a price that has to be paid. And if that price is not paid, then that person is going to be and remain a slave. But if that price is paid, and when that price is paid, the position has changed. And the act of paying that price, the act of making that payment, is what redemption is. It's a buying back. The person belonged to someone else. And by paying the price, perhaps the slave paid it himself. Or perhaps someone else went and paid the owner the price that was demanded so that that individual could be transferred to a different owner. He's going to be bought. He's going to be bought back. He's going to be redeemed. And the moment the price is paid, the act of redemption has occurred. That's what we're talking about here. There are several examples in the Bible. In Exodus 21, verses 7 and 8, you see the example of a maidservant, where the Bible says there, if she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, she was not to be sold, the Bible says there, unto a strange nation. But on the payment of a price, she could be redeemed. She could be bought back by the father who originally sold her. But the price would have to be paid. And if the price was paid, that ownership transferred. It changed. You know the story of Ruth and Boaz in Ruth chapter 4 in the first seven verses there. Boaz redeemed his right to a field. The redemption was duly advertised. It was carried out in a formal fashion through certain definite acts that included the payment of a proper price. And when the price was paid, the act of redemption occurred. In every biblical instance, when you see this word in the Bible, redemption is not a vague term. It's very clear. It's a very clear, very technical transaction. No fuzziness about it. And that's what we're talking about this evening when we talk about our redemption. It's a very well-defined, a legitimately executed transaction. The payment, the proper payment is made. The redemption has taken place. Why is it that we need to be redeemed? What is the condition that has made it such so that we have to be redeemed? You remember that man belongs to God by creation. Our Creator made us. And because He made us, He owns us, as He does all things, because He made all things. And at the fall, man entered into a position of bondage. And in this position of bondage, he is now by nature a slave. And until he is free from the slavery that he is in, he lives in a very harsh, under a very harsh and cruel taskmaster. Sin is the master. And the slave feels the cruelness of this taskmaster. And man's predicament is emphasized. Here he is in slavery. He's in this bondage because by nature now he is a slave through the fall. And because of that, the difficulty is emphasized because he's under the curse of the law. And that curse, as you know, issues in death. And so Paul writes in Romans 6 and verse 17, ye were the slaves of sin. That's where you were in bondage to when he's writing there to those believers. He's echoing Jesus' words. Remember, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, Jesus said in John 8:34. And we remember that the wages of sin, because I am in bondage as a slave to sin, because that's my condition, and that's condition of everybody, because that's my condition, God says something about that condition. There's a certain wage that is attached to the fact that I am a sinner. And the payment, the wage, just like when I work my at the end of the week, I get my wages for the work that I've done. The wages that I get for the work that I've done as a sinner is death. And that really is what emphasizes the very challenging predicament that all mankind is in, and why I am in desperate need of this word redemption. I need a redeemer. I need someone to buy me out of the terrible predicament that I'm in. And everybody you know needs somebody to buy them out of the terrible predicament that they're in. I want you to think about just a moment the buying back. Let's think for just a moment about this channel of my redemption, our redemption as believers. That channel begins and ends with God. It is all of God's grace. There wasn't anything about us that was pleasing to God. There isn't anything that I can do that will gain my redemption. Nothing. It begins and ends with God. If God had not taken the initiative to go to the slave market and buy me back, I'd be in deep trouble. Because he's the only one who could buy me back. He's the only one. Psalm 19:14, David, remember, says of the Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isaiah 49 in verse 26, God speaks through Isaiah. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Job 19 in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. It is God who redeems. It is God who redeems. Nothing brings the sinner greater confidence than to know that the work of redemption began not in the guilty heart of the sinner, but in the loving heart of God. It is God. What was sung to us this morning? He loved me first, I think Bethany sang to us. We love him because he first loved us. Before I loved him, the other songwriter says, he loved me. Before I sought him, he sought for me. Remember what God says? Nobody is seeking him. Nobody is seeking God. There is none that seeketh after God, Romans tells us. So I'm in deep trouble. I am in a terrible condition and I am not looking for God. But God, in his loving kindness, it all began with him, out of his own heart of grace and love for me. His love for all mankind is what made him so that he was going to be the Redeemer. He was going to be the one who was going to go to the slave market. And that redemption is accomplished, as you know, by Christ. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ bought me back out of this horrible predicament I'm in. And I'm under the curse of the law, which means I'm going to die. I'm in a terrible condition. But Christ became a curse for me. and he redeemed me. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, Paul reminds us in Ephesians 1. The whole goal of Jesus Christ becoming a man, the reason that Jesus Christ was incarnated in the flesh, the reason that God became a man, the goal of that was for the redemption of mankind. Do you remember what Galatians 4 says? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Can somebody finish that verse? To redeem them, to buy them back that were under the law. That's right. The exact reason that Jesus Christ came to the earth was for your redemption and mine. Because of the desperate state that we were in. And what about the cost? Redemption's cost was of staggering proportions. And you're there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And probably when we think about redemption, maybe this verse came to many of our minds tonight. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not bought back, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That didn't happen to you. Peter says you weren't bought back with money. Nothing. No amount of money could buy redemption. That's clearly what he says. You were not redeemed by corruptible things. I'm talking about stuff like money. I'm talking about stuff like silver and gold. That is not what got it for you. That wasn't what brought about your buying back. Christ did not go to the slave market with a bag of silver in his hand. That's not what sent him there. He didn't go there with a whole pile of gold that he was going to lay down and he was going to say, okay, I'd like him and him and him and him and him. No. You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You know what you were redeemed with? Peter tells us the next verse. You were redeemed with a precious sacrifice. Not something so corruptible as stuff, as silver and gold, or anything that silver and gold can buy. No. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Amen. It was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary that bought us back. And it wasn't only a precious sacrifice, it was a perfect sacrifice, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God's demand was perfection. Right? Because God is a holy God and he has zero toleration for sin, what that means is if I'm going to have a relationship with God, I've got to be just as holy as he is. Now, folks, that is exactly what that means. I cannot, you cannot, nor anyone we know can have a relationship with God unless we are just as holy as he is. Because he has no toleration for sin. And we are sinners. And I'm in bondage. And I need somebody to rescue me. I need somebody that will come along and will buy me out of that bondage. I need a different owner. I need to be transferred away from that. And there was no one that could do it other than Jesus Christ. The perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the one who would pay the penalty, which remember, that's my wage. My wage for being a sinner is death. But there needed to be a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. And Jesus, as you know, willingly gave up his life. It wasn't taken from him. He wasn't all of a sudden surprised one day when in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas comes along and betrays him and sells him for 30 pieces of silver. And then they take him and a trumped up trial and they put him on a cross and kill him. He was not surprised by that. He came for that purpose. To redeem us. A precious sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, a predetermined sacrifice. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. When Jesus Christ paid our price, the ransom, the redemption price, the price that was set that had to be met. What was that price? Perfection. A perfect sacrifice that could be offered in death because that's what my sin cost. And Christ willingly gave himself up to buy us back. The payment price is complete. It's complete. What Jesus did for us on the cross, that redemption price was forever paid. Forever. It is not what Jesus Christ did for me to get me started and what I am doing for myself to keep me going. If that is your thinking tonight, listen, my friend, can I kindly tell you, you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ alone. If in your thinking is Jesus Christ got me on the right track, but it's my own good behavior that keeps me on the right track. No. Jesus Christ alone is what will satisfy God. It's the only sacrifice that will please him. And I have got to come in under Jesus Christ's coattails, if I could say it that way. I've got to come in under his righteousness. I don't have any. I can't bring anything to the table that pleases God. Everything about me is filthiness to God, even the very best that I can do. You remember that's what the prophet Isaiah said. The very best that I can bring to the table is as filthy rags. Because I am a dirty, rotten sinner and I am in desperate need of redemption. And praise God, the redemption price was paid in full and I will never, ever have to pay for my sins because Jesus Christ paid it all. And if you're here tonight and you are trying to pay for your sins, and the way you're trying to pay for it is to do enough that somehow is going to gain you favor and get you on God's good side as you think of it, you will never be able to do that. You'll never be able to gain favor with God that way. Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. You say, well, I know that, but when I sin, I feel like I just need to do something to counteract that so that I can get back in good graces with God. No, that's not the way it works. When Jesus Christ died for your sins, how many of your sins had you committed? When Jesus Christ died for our sins, listen, all of our sins were in the future. None of us were living 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But when he died on that cross, he paid for all of our sins. Now, the question is, do I accept what Jesus did for me to please God? Or do I think there's something else that's got to be done to please God? There's nothing else that can be done. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Jesus Christ paid it all for me. Saw a little story that kind of illustrates the whole idea of redemption. And I'll close with this. A.J. Gordon was a preacher up in Boston years gone by. He met a young boy one day in the front of his church. He was carrying a rusty cage, and in it there were several birds in this cage that were fluttering kind of nervously, as you can imagine, a cage of birds in the hands of a boy. And so they're fluttering kind of nervously, and Pastor Gordon sees the little fellow out there, and he said, "Son, where'd you get those birds?" He said, "I trapped them out in the field." "What are you going to do with them?" "Well, I'm going to play with them, and then I guess I'll just feed them to our cat at home." I'd be nervous if I was that bird, too. So Gordon then offered to buy them. And the fellow said, "Mister, you don't want these birds. They're just old, wild birds that I found. They don't sing. They're just old, wild birds." Pastor Gordon said, "I'll give you $2 for the cage and all the birds that are in the cage." The fellow said, "Okay, that's a deal." So the exchange was made. And the boy went away whistling, happy. He's got two shiny coins in his pocket, or several shiny coins there. And when he walked away, Pastor Gordon walked around to the back side of the church, and he opened the door of that small rusty cage, and he let those nervous birds out. And when he let them out, they flew out into the blue sky free. The next Sunday, Pastor Gordon took that little rusty, empty cage into this pulpit, and he used it as an illustration in his sermon about Christ coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And he did it by paying not $2, but his own precious blood, so that these not very good people, not much attractive about them, don't really bring anything to the table, but they could go free because of the blood of Christ. This is what redemption is. Jesus Christ bought me out of the slave market of sin. He is our Redeemer. He's the only Redeemer. I hope he's yours tonight. If he is, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? I was a slave to my sin. I was the servant of sin. And I desperately needed to be bought. And Jesus Christ did that. And the price that he paid was his own precious blood. We have a lot to be thankful for. this evening. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that your blood has power to save. We thank you that we can have life because you redeemed us and we couldn't get it any other way. And we give you praise tonight, and with thanksgiving we remember your sacrifice tonight. You shed your blood so that we could have life, so that we could be redeemed. Thank you. Thank you for redeeming us at such price. As we remember that tonight, Lord, may we reflect on how blessed we are to have a Redeemer. Bless as we remember your table tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.